She says, Dr. Anna, I've been out for a 5-mile run, didn't need a panty liner, I'm laughing, enjoying myself more, and I've had no leakage. And I said, okay, well, Catherine, then I guess we don't need to operate. She goes, you mean my stress incontinence is gone? I said, it sounds like it. I did a follow-up exam and study, and it was absolutely gone. And that's really when it just, like, huge light bulbs in my head saying, well, this is a great preventative. Using bioidentical hormones topically and vaginally is a great preventative for not just vaginal dryness, but for the incontinence symptoms with pelvic floor exercises to strengthen the pelvic floor. Hey there, it's Dr. Anna Kabeca, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to Balance, my wild yam progesterone and pregnenolone cream. This is the dream cream you've been waiting for, formulated with the combination of bioidentical progesterone and pregnenolone from wild yams. This cream is specifically designed to support hormone balance, mood, memory, and a good night's sleep. Plus, it's a fantastic skin cream promoting firmness and reducing age spots. With all natural ingredients and high-quality hormones, you'll feel perfectly balanced. Try Balance today and experience the magic. Visit dranna.com/balance to get yours now. Embrace wellness and vitality with Balance, my wild yam progesterone cream. Your body will thank you. Have you ever accidentally peed on yourself when you were coughing, sneezing, even laughing? Or when you go out to do activities such as jogging, jumping on the trampoline, just kind of messing around? Or are you wearing a panty liner, not because of period, but because of worries about leakage? Now, one of the benefits of menopause and this transition into the second spring of our lives is that no more periods means no more pads and tampons, which is really a nice thing. It's good for us personally, financially, and for the economy in general and the environment. So what's happening here? Today, I'm going to talk about a very uncomfortable topic for most people, and that is incontinence, urinary incontinence. What are some of the causes? What are the different types of incontinence? And what exactly you can be doing about it right now to decrease that, even reverse it completely? First, I want to tell you about a client I had named Catherine. We'll call her Catherine. She was 53 years old and she was a school teacher. So she would be standing for many hours or sitting, unable to leave the classroom, usually would go to the bathroom once during the day, during her work day, if she was lucky. And she was a jogger. She had a history of running for not extensive distances, between 3 to 6 miles on a regular basis. And she said she always now had to wear a pad. It was disrupting her lifestyle and her enjoyment, and also her desire to go running completely. And so I saw her as a client and I did a full urinary incontinence workup with her. So what that means is a full questionnaire, bladder studies, which includes checking for signs and symptoms of incontinence, looking at the bladder flow, the urine flow, as well as ruling out any infections or other bladder issues like interstitial cystitis that could be part of the problem, as well as looking for any dietary patterns or habits. And taking a history, did she give vaginal birth or cesarean section? Was there any pelvic floor trauma or low back injury that could be part of the problem? So part of that workup, I identified that she had a very classic case of stress urinary incontinence, and so recommended surgery. So I recommended surgery for her. And I said, as part of this surgery, I was going to do some pre-op care for the next month to 2 months with some bioidentical hormones. And as I worked with her with bioidentical hormones using DHEA and testosterone around the urethra daily for the 6 weeks prior to her surgery to make sure that we had good tissue to operate on so that she would have an excellent repair and excellent results, I found that this, through my years of practice and research, was significant in improving operative and post-operative results. And so when she came back in for her pre-op workup 2 days before her surgery that was scheduled. So 2 days before the date of surgery, she says, "Dr. Anna, I've been out for a 5-mile run, didn't need a panty liner. I'm laughing, enjoying myself more, and I've had no leakage." And I said, "Okay, well, Catherine, then I guess we don't need to operate." She goes, "You mean my stress incontinence is gone?" I said, "It sounds like it." I did a follow-up exam and study, and it was absolutely gone. And that's really when it just, like, huge light bulbs in my head saying, well, this is a great preventative. Using bioidentical hormones topically and vaginally is a great preventative for not just vaginal dryness, but for the incontinence symptoms with pelvic floor exercises to strengthen the pelvic floor, which always makes a difference. So let me give you some of the background on urinary incontinence in general. So first of all, it is, you know, 2 in 5 menopausal or postmenopausal women are affected by stress urinary incontinence. And there's the physical consequences, but there's also the emotional consequences and social consequences. For example, going out and needing to know where a bathroom is at all times, watching the amount of fluid that you're intaking when you're at a social event, and also the activities that you want to do and participate in, to have to take those into consideration or even stop doing them altogether. And we don't want to live that way, right? We want to be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it with no fear of shame, embarrassment at all. Now, as a mom myself and having delivered 4 big babies vaginally, it is something I experienced in my late 30s and early 40s that was significant. I remember doing a P90X workout, one of their high intensity workouts, and completely wetting myself during the workout. And yes, I was in a gym, in one of the aerobic classrooms, and in light gray workout pants. And I was completely embarrassed. I used a towel to cover myself up as I ran then to the bathroom to change. And I really recognized that it was a huge problem for me, and I didn't want this to continue in my life and decrease what I'm able to do. Also, the colors I'm able to wear. Then I thought to myself, this is why so many people wear just solid black or dark color workout bottoms. So what are the types of incontinence? There's urge incontinence. So urge incontinence is when you suddenly feel an intense need to use the bathroom, to urinate. And then you can lose your control, your bladder control, before you make it to the bathroom, or as you're unbuttoning your pants, or you recognize, okay, I got to get there, but I can't get there in time. That's urge incontinence. That has specific causes as well. The most common cause of incontinence we see is stress incontinence. So that's when you pee, when you cough, or when every time you laugh or sneeze. And this is really one of the big issues from most people, and especially during perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. So when this happens, this is what is known as stress urinary incontinence. In other words, the stress on your bladder and the neck of your bladder, of the urethra where you pee from. So we have the bladder and the bladder neck, and the urethra is the opening. So you lose the strength of the muscle in that urethra and the bladder neck, and that causes, when there's more pressure than there is strength, there is leakage. So this can result from a number of reasons as well. And it's often thought that women who give birth vaginally have a significant increased risk of stress urinary incontinence. And this is true to a degree, but pregnancy in general, whether it's C-section or vaginal delivery, is associated with an increased risk of incontinence. There's no reason, based on the research, to emphasize a primary C-section because of this fear, however. And I think that's really important to understand. In research that was published by one of the journals of neurology, Neurourology, it looked at this exact thing. And what it found was that women who, with severe symptoms, there was very little, very slight difference between women with severe symptoms of stress urinary incontinence, whether they had a vaginal delivery or a cesarean section. So I think that's warranted and important to understand. This study, which was published in Neurourology and Urodynamics in 2004, looked at 363 women 1 year after their first delivery. And what it looked at were young women, so postpartum women within up to 1 year, who had not normal vaginal delivery, and others who had protracted labor, in other words, and needed primary C-section for obstructed labor or failure to descend or failure to progress is what we call it, and then cesarean sections for no labor reason, so primary C-section, either elective or because of breech or some other condition. So what they found is that the prevalence of postpartum stress urinary incontinence was similar after spontaneous vaginal delivery and cesarean section performed for obstructive labor, 10% compared to 12%. However, stress urinary incontinence was significantly less common following elective cesarean section with no trial of labor, so only 3.4%. So not zero, but 3.4%. So also that half of the symptomatic patients in each subgroup reported either moderate or severe symptoms, and only 15 to 18% expressed the desire for further evaluation. You're a new mom, you're busy. So what's important to understand, in many countries, they initiate pelvic floor therapy after delivery, whether it's a vaginal delivery or a cesarean section, to re-strengthen the pelvic floor and to support pelvic floor musculature and recovery, which is so important. There's also mixed urinary incontinence. Mixed urinary incontinence refers to situations where you have both stress and urge incontinence at the same time. There's also functional incontinence, which happens when you physically just can't make it to the toilet because you can't walk there on your own. You're using a walker, you maybe had a bone injury or a muscle injury, or you have any other physical ailment causing your incontinence. There's also incontinence called overflow incontinence. This is when you can't empty your bladder fully, so it overflows and you leak urine. This is often what I suspect in clients who are on their feet a lot and can't go to use the bathroom. The bladder capacity expands significantly until it can't anymore. So there's also the symptom of overactive bladder. And this is when someone is needing to use the bathroom more frequently than every 3 to 4 hours. So in some cases, as many as 20 times a day, and getting up a lot at night to use the bathroom, over one time or two times, is considered significant. So it's important to understand what your normal is and also what's happening with you. So the symptoms are, to emphasize, it's accidentally peeing when you laugh, cough, or sneeze, or lift something heavy, jump, or run, or jog. Or if you're having to speed to the toilet when you get the urge to go because you can't hold it. And also when you're planning your outings carefully so you don't end up far away from a bathroom. And then urinating often, including during the night. Any one of these symptoms deserves a deeper investigation and approach. So what I've seen clinically in my practice is that more and more women are struggling with urinary incontinence and are also fearful about surgical intervention. So this is when we really need to work on prevention and strengthening the pelvic floor muscles, even if we decide surgery is the next best step. It's estimated that approximately 70% of women associate their incontinence symptoms with the onset of menopause. So this is important to know, but you don't have to just live with it. And I think this is what can give you confidence and empowerment, as I found with my patients in working with hormonal therapies, as well as working with surgical therapies or preparing for surgical therapies. First of all, if you have any of the above types of incontinence, you want to get a good evaluation from a gynecologist or urogynecologist, which is a specialist who trained in OBGYN, then went on to do urogynecology, specifically in women, looking at incontinence issues and other bladder health issues and concerns. And it is something that, you know, we want to work on preventing it. So something I would always tell my pregnant patients is that you have to start your pelvic floor exercises or Kegel exercises from the sign of that first pregnancy test till we die. It is never too late to start doing pelvic floor exercises and contractions, as well as preparing prevention, right? So paying attention and doing that is critical, but getting an evaluation to make sure there's not something pathologic going on or a disease going on, a disease process or an infection is important. And a pelvic exam is always part of that investigation. So don't be afraid of that. Just get it done. The second thing is, in working with incontinence issues, pelvic floor physical therapy is very beneficial. Pelvic floor physical therapy can work on the muscle, can help you strengthen it. If it's too tight, or hypertonic muscles can help you relax them. And that can make a difference too. There are certain foods that we want to avoid that could be irritating your bladder. We specifically look at peppers and hot and spicy foods, acidic foods, and a urinary pH that's associated with that is less than 7. We want to optimize that to greater than 7. If you've heard me speak about my keto green and keto alkaline plans and the lifestyle, you'll know why I say your urinary pH is an important biomarker of your health. And it absolutely is. The second thing that, as a gynecologist, I learned was using bioidentical hormone therapy, testosterone and DHEA specifically. DHEA has been shown to be very safe, even in clients with a history of breast cancer. So what is DHEA? Well, DHEA is a prohormone. It's a precursor to testosterone and then to estrogen. So your testosterone is derived from DHEA. And testosterone is an androgen. And this is important for the integrity of skin, muscle, and bone in both males and females. It also has a role in maintaining libido and improving energy levels, as well as memory, mental alertness, a good night's sleep, and has been shown to provide some cardiovascular protection by lowering cholesterol and enhancing bone building by increasing calcium retention, where estrogen helps prevent bone loss and also helps the mucosa stay moist. Estrogen doesn't work on promote bone growth, nor does it promote the strengthening of muscles. So this is why taking estrogen has not been significantly associated with a decrease in urinary incontinence by itself. We need to add some of the androgens or proandrogens to this area. So one of the reasons I put DHEA in Jolva as an over-the-counter option with the plant stem cells and the other ingredients to increase absorption to help condition and kind of reverse age the vulvovaginal tissues, and that includes around the urethra. So DHEA originates predominantly from the adrenal glands, and it is an inactive precursor which leads to the production of active sex hormones like androgens and estrogens in specific cells and tissues. So as estrogen levels naturally decrease, it is DHEA that continues to be a remaining source of estrogens and androgens in a woman's body. When we use DHEA topically, it is converted at the cellular level to testosterone and estrogen without increasing any significant amount of circulating blood levels of these hormones. So it's been shown to be incredibly supportive. By prescription, vaginal suppositories in 2016, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, approved the first product containing DHEA for vaginal use, and it's known as Intrarosa. So it was approved to treat women experiencing moderate and severe pain during sexual intercourse. It also showed other benefits, such as the decrease in urinary incontinence and an increase in libido and intimacy. So in my training as an OBGYN at Emory University, I didn't learn very much at all about DHEA and certainly about compounding hormones. I didn't actually learn anything about it. So all my research since 1999 has been in this area, studying with experts, from experts, and now being an expert and lecturing and training other physicians in this area. I recognized, as I had my own experience with incontinence and how devastating that was to me, and also knowing so many women who have been significantly affected by the consequence of incontinence, and including incontinence during intimacy. And it affects them and decreases their desire. You know, that's one of the most important ways. Intimacy is one of the most important ways to increase oxytocin. So I always want to keep that active and available for all of us, because we want as much oxytocin as naturally as possible in our bodies. So if you're struggling with incontinence, know that you do not have to. It is not your destiny, right? Because you have incontinence now doesn't mean we can't reverse it. Sometimes we can, and we need to go on to have surgery. But if you do decide that route, you definitely want to talk with your doctor about conditioning with bioidentical hormones, such as DHEA, using Jylva, for instance, or having testosterone and DHE compounded, and that can make a significant difference in your life. Let me know if you have any questions about incontinence. It's really important that we address these issues in women's health that are undertreated and under-discussed in our common medical literature, as well as in our doctor's offices. So don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to get help. And I'm here for you, and I love being your girlfriend doctor. Thank you for listening. Please let me know what other topics you want me to talk about. Just email us at team@drannakabeca.com, and I will add them to my list. I am here for you. Remember, you can ask or tell me anything. I look forward to continuing our journey together. God bless you. Till next time.